Okay. Mr. G, you good? You can hear? Mr. G, you can hear? He doesn't hear. I call via device. Mr. G, can you hear? Okay, good. All right. So we'll start it up. Today is Kuf Zayin, it's Kuf Ches, we're on Kuf Zayin on the base, towards the bottom, like five lines to the bottom, Amar Mar. So Amar Bar Hamdore, Amar Shmuel. So Bar Hamdore says the name of Shmuel. Hoshit Yado Limei Behema, V'dildal Uber Shebemeya. So a person sticks his hand, I guess, into the womb of an animal, and he detaches the Uber from the womb, and it causes a miscarriage, right? V'dildal Uber Meya. So Gemara said, he says that you're Chayev. Question is, what's he chayev for? Rashi says, chayev. My taima, what's the reason, what's the malacha that he's chayev for? Amar Rava Bar Hamdure, Isberli, which is Rava Bar Hamdure explained to me, Lav Amar Rav Shesha, didn't Rav Shesha say, Haiman Detalish Kishusa Mihizme Vihigi. So someone who I guess, he cuts off, he tolish this type of thing that grows from the on the ground. Michai mishum oker davar migidulo. He's chai because he's separating something from its area of growth, and therefore seems to be that's a tolda of kotzer. You're tolish. You're removing something from its growth, so it's a tolda of kotzer, and therefore that's what you chai. So to hear hakanami michai mishum oker davar migidulo. You're separating something from the its source of nourishment from where it grows. You're separating the fetus from the mother, and therefore that's going to be chayiv mishum tolish, which is a tolda of kotzer. That's how Rashi seems to explain it. The Ramban does not like that. The Ramban says yichayiv here between netilas neshama, but it's a machlokas between Rashi and Ramban. We'll go with Rashi again because yichayiv mishum kotzer. So Amar Abayi says hayman de tolish, someone who cuts off or separates. Pitra meuna dechatzba. So it seems to me there's these mushrooms that are going on the rim of a kli, right? They're going, I guess, from the moisture of the water, so they're growing from the rim on the rim. Mechayev mishum oker davar migidulo. Again, you're chayev mishum because you're removing something from its source of nourishment, and therefore that's going to be a tolda of kotzer. Even though this thing is not mechubal lekarka, right? The same thing like the baby is not mechubal lekarka. That's the Ramban's issue. The Ramban thinks that kotzer has to be mechubal lekarka. But Rashi says, no, as long as you're separating it from its source of nourishment. So to here, you're separating these mushrooms from their source of nourishment, which is probably the moisture on the lid of this pail. So that's why you're going to be chayev. So Masi, Rav Oshi asked, well, what about what we learned in the Mishnah a few weeks ago? Hatolish me atziv nakuv chayev. If someone, atziv nakuv again was the potted plant which has openings on the bottom, so therefore it's halachli, it's getting nourishment from the ground into the potted plant. So hatolish me atziv nakuv, you're going to be chayev because if you separate from there, you pull something out from there, you can say it's chayev. Again, because of kotzer, because we view it as it's mechub lekarka. She'enu nakov, potter. But if you separate it from that, it's not a nakov, it's not hold, you're not going to be chayev because we say it's not mechub lekarka. So the fact that the Mishnah there potters you from someone who removes an item removes a branch or a leaf from the atzif that's not nakov, you see from there that you're not chayev from something you're not chayev for tolish if an item is not connected to the karka. So why would you be chayev for the mushrooms if it's not connected to the karka? So Gemara says, no, it's a big difference. Hasam lav habirvise, hacha habirvise. Right? By the atzitz that's eno nakuf, the ground, the karka, is not the place where it's getting its nourishment from. That's a big difference. The mushrooms are gaining its nourishment from the moisture on the top of the pail. So that's where it's gaining its moisture. That's where it's gaining its nourishment. Then that's what you're separating. In the case again, the atzitz nakuf. It's not that you're pulling you're pulling a branch from the pot itself. You're taking there's this pot that's on the ground, and you're lifting the pot and the potted plant, and you're removing it from the ground. You're lifting it up. So that the Gemara says that you're not chayav for because there it's not getting the nourishment from the ground but from the mushrooms it's getting the nourishment from the pail because of the moisture that's on it, and that's why you would be chayav. Okay. The Mishnah Lincoln said that you had a chaya and an oaf that was in your property, right? So it's like pre-captured. So we said hatsadan potter. If you trapped him, I guess in there, somehow if you grab them from inside, you're going to be potter. Vachovo ben chayav. And if you wound them, you're going to be chayav. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, kosvin tefillin al gabi or shel of tahar. You can use the skins, the hides of a kosher bird in order to write the use it as cloth for the tefillin. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, my kamash malan. What are you trying to teach us? What's the chiddush of Rav Huna, the isle or? Is he trying to teach us that birds have skin or have hides, and therefore you're allowed to write on them? Right? Tanina, we already learned this in the Mishnah, it says, Hachova ben Chayav. From the fact, we went through it all yesterday, the fact that you can make a wound shows that there's or shows that there's skin in there, right? So we already know that they have skin. So once they have skin and they're a kosher animal, Menela, you should be able to write on it, use it for cloth. So what are you coming to teach us? So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Tuva kamashma, nah, you come to teach us a big chiddush. Dimi mas nisin havamina from our Mishnah. You might have said, okay, fine, they have or, and therefore I'm kaya for chavala, but kaven de isbe nikve, since they have these little holes, I guess the skin of the bird is not as smooth, since it has these little holes, lo, you wouldn't be able to write, tefillin on it, because you would say that the holes prevent the ksiva from being nice and smooth across the cloth. Kamash Malan teaches us, because the Ami Marava, that they said in Eretz Yisrael, Kol Nekev Shadiyo Overis Alav Einu Nekev. The holes here are so small that the ink will go across it and cover it, and you won't see the hole anymore. That's not considered a Nekev. And since it's not considered, and that teaches us it's not considered a Nekev, and therefore it's kosher enough, it's not big enough holes, and therefore you're allowed to use it for the cloth. So Macy, Rabbi Zera says, wait a second. Let's look at another place where we talk about birds. That's by the Korban Ola Ha'of, right? The whole Ola Ha'of, it says, Vishisa Osav Biknafav, which means that the Kohen rips it or tears it apart. The bird, it separates the bird apart while, I think, the feathers, when the feathers are still on it. And then you throw it onto the Mizbeach, even with the feathers on it. And it says, Lahakshir Esa'or, right? Where it says, what's it come to teach us? Lahakshir Esa'or. It's come to teach us that you can throw the bird onto the Mizbeach, even with the skin, with the hides on the skin on it. You know, when it comes to an animal, you have to flay it, you have to take it off, and then you can put it on, right? You're Makdir, the birds, with everything still on it. You don't have to be mafshed it. The Isak L'daitach, and if you would think that orhu, that the or of the bird is halachti or, you know, hechi marbe leikra, why would you be able to put it on? So the Gemara says, what's the, I don't know what the halving is. The Gemara says, amalei baye, orhu, v'rachman rabye. Yeah, it still has a definition of or, but this or can be put on the Mizbeach. That's what the Torah says. But the question is, well, if it was an or, you know you're not allowed to put or on, so if it's on the Mizbeach, so it can't be or, because you're putting it on the Mizbeach. Abai says, no, it is or, and you are putting it on the Mizbeach. The Torah says, this or, as opposed to the or of the behemoth, the or of the animal, of the bird, you can't put on the Mizbeach. Okay? Ika d'amri, okay, those some learn it this way. Amar Rabzeir says, Afanan Nami Tanina. We also, in the news of Rice, as a support that the or of a bird is considered or. Af Rabbi Zera Afana, sorry, Ikad Amri, Ami Rabbi Zera Afana Namitanina, Biknafav. Right, you put the Ola Sa'of on the, you put it onto the, with its feathers and everything on. L'rabos Sa'or, that comes to include the or. Ia Mart Bishlama Orhu, if you're going to tell me that the or of the bird is considered, is really or, so Hainad Istachal Rabuye. That's why I need a Pasuk to tell me that you're allowed to put it on. Normally, I wouldn't be putting it on. Comes the Pasuk to tell me you may put it on. Ela'ia Mart Lav Orhu, but if you're telling me that the or of an oaf is not considered or, then am I itzterkral rabuye? Why do I need a pasuk for to tell me? I need a pasuk to tell me that I'm allowed to put something that's not or on the mizbeach. Of course I am. Obviously it is or, and therefore I need the pasuk to tell me that you're allowed to put it on. So Amalei Abaye says no. Lo'olam emelach. Maybe I'll tell you lav oru. It's not or. The itzterich. And why do I need a pasuk to tell me that it goes on the mizbeach? Like Amina came in isbe pirtzi pirtzi mois. Maybe because it has these little holes. Therefore you would have thought, or somebody would have thought, that it's not nice enough, right? It's too gross to be put on the Mizbeach. Stuff that goes on the Mizbeach has to be pretty, you know, like entrails. It has to go onto the Mizbeach. Kamash Malan, that from the Pasuk says, no, nevertheless, despite the fact that this non-or thing has the holes, it still goes on to the Mizbeach. So there's no raya from one way or another. You can learn this Mishnah you can learn the Brisa about the bird offering, you know, either way, whether it can be rejected, it's not going to be a raya that the or of the oaf is or is not considered or. Okay, so we know we're allowed to write tefillin on the or of a behemah kosher. You know now we're allowed to write tefillin on the or of a oaf kosher. What about on the or of a kosher fish? right? Mahu lichtov tefillin gabi or shel taktar. So Amar Leis, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, Im yavo Eliyahu yomer. I don't know, let's wait. Eliyahu Navi will come and tell us whether it's mutter or not. More ask, my im yavo Eliyahu yomer. What does Eliyahu have to do with this? Important Rashi. Rashi says, my im yavo Eliyahu yomer, heter v'isser, whether something's mutter or usser, ain't toleibo. It doesn't make, it's not dependent on Eliyahu Navi. Lo b'shamayimi. We make the halachic decisions down here. I don't know how that works with Teku, but we make the halachic decisions down here. Why are you waiting for Eliyahu? So what, again, the Gemara says, "Ma im yavo Eliyahu v'yomar." What does that mean? So ilema the idi isle or idi lesle or. Maybe Eliyahu is going to come and tell us and determine the fact as to whether or not fish have or don't have or. Well, we don't know that. Hachazina, we don't need that Eliyahu to come determine the facts. Hachazina isle or. We see in the Metzias that it has a skin. So what, can you write on it or not? V'od, and even more so, that can't be what we're waiting for Eliyahu. Hatanan, we learn in the Mishnah, it's a Mishnah in Kalim. Right, now Hatanan, the Mishnah says there, Atzamos hadag v'oro matzilin v'ol hamis. It seems to be that the bones and the skin of a fish can protect something, in an ol hamis. Like if it's in a kli, and you use that as the covering, it can protect. And the rule is that only something that's not mekabel tumah can protect. And or is not mekabel tumah. So it must be that it's or, right? I think that's how it works. Right? Rashi says, matzilin ba'ol hamis, v'hatanat samos v'dag v'or matzilin ol hamis, l'fisha ein mekabel tumah. They're not mekabel tumah. K'datanya v'toros kohanim, or yechol or shovim, v'atzamos v'dag nami d'kli atzim mekabel tumah, mekol ma'atzim izim. The whole idea is that it's not mekabel tumah. So it must be that it's or. So what is Eliyahu going to come teach us? We know that it's or. Ela im yavo Eliyahu, what's Eliyahu going to come and say? V'yomar ipaska zuhuma minei, ilo paska zuhuma minei. Eliyahu Navi is going to come and teach us as to whether or not the zuhama, right, the disgustingness, I guess, the impurity has left the fish or not. So what? That's a machlokas also. So the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin Perek Alef Halacha Yud, he's going to do this. He's going to talk about zuhuma in a more rationalistic way. He's going to say Eliyahu Navi is going to come to teach us and say, listen. There, when you take skin, you have to tan it. You have to tan the skin in order to make it useful for cloth. Does the tanning that we do for fish, is that sufficient to take away the grossness, the disgustingness of the skin? We don't know whether that tanning works or not. Eliyahu Navi is going to tell us. So the Ron says, well, that's just the Matthias. The same question you had here before about, we'll just see, does it or not? So the Ron looks at it as more of a spiritual impurity. I'm not exactly sure how it works. The Ron says that the Nachash instilled the Zuhama into everything, and the Zuhama left at Matan Torah, but there's a Machlokas, says whether the fish had the benefit of Matan Torah. Maybe they weren't there because they had to leave the ocean. They didn't leave the ocean, so maybe they weren't there. So maybe Eliyahu Navi is going to come and tell us whether the zuhama that was put in the fish at the chet of the nachash, and whether that was removed or that was removed or not at Har Sinai. We don't know. So therefore, if it's still so, we're not going to use the or of the fish, because if there's still zuhama in there, we can't use it for the cloth. Shmuel v'Karna, interesting story now. Shmuel v'Karna have a yosu aguda de Nahar Malka. Okay, Shmuel and his Talmud Karna are sitting on the riverbank of the river Malka. Chazinu lemaya de kadalu v'achiri. They see the river became very choppy and I guess dark, a lot of waves. Even though there was no, Tosfos points out, even though there was no wind. So Amrle Shmuel Karna, so Shmuel says to Karna, Gavra Rava Ka'asim Imarava, it must be that a great man is coming from the west, coming from Eretz Yisrael, V'chayish B'meye, and I guess he has a stomach ailment, V'kadolu Maye Lakvule Ape Kamei. So therefore the water is becoming choppy, it seems to be coming choppy, so that Rashi says, La'asos Mechitza Svivav, Kishu Nifne Al Dofei HaTzvina, Shelo Yeregiliyav. That it's come very choppy and everything like that, so he can sit down and he can defecate on the side of the boat and no one will be able to see him, I guess because the waves will make some sort of protective wall around him that no one can see. How Shmuel knew this, I don't know, right? We'll see Tosos in a second. So, let's see Tosos now. So you should look at Tosos, the Dibur Masor Rach, in the middle it says, V'yodah Shmuel, it says Shmuel says, She yishtem in hanar osa adam gadol. Basically, he says something different. He says he saw that the waves were choppy and became dark, filled with soot. The Yada Shmuel Sheyishtem, and I now remember Shmuel's also a doctor. So that's why, right, that Shmuel never became a Rav, because that's what Dr. Rosner always said. The Rabbi Rosner's father is that Shmuel never became a Rebbe, never became a Rav, because he was too busy dealing with patients. So he didn't have time to take the smicha test. Right, so he says, V'yada Shmuel sheyishtem min anar. Shmuel knew that the person on the boat will drink from the river, Oso Adam Gadol, umitokach yachosh b'meyav. And that's how he's going to get sick. L'fishemayim achurim, because the water is dirty, machmas haruach, because of the wind, shayim babalam, the wind would bring up all the soot, and he would drink the dirty water. So l'fishem Shmuel hayarofe mumcha. So he's a rofe. So that is he says. So Shmuel says, in the Gemara, he says, Zil tehe leik akan kanei. Go check his pail, which means go check to see if this guy is really a chacham or not. So Asgol Ashchei l'Rav. They must have known that it was Rav or someone who was coming. I don't know how maybe they had a picture of Rav. I don't know. They knew it was Rav. Karna goes and he finds Rav. Amrlei. So now Karna starts asking Rav these questions. Remember, Rav is having stomach issues right now, so he's not so happy. Right, to be bothered. So Azil Ashkei l'Rav Amar Lei. So Karna says to Rav, Minayim shein kosim tefillin el agabi or behemah tohora. How do you know that you can only write tefillin on the hides of a kosher animal? So Amar Lei. So Rav says back, Tiksiv. He says by tefillin, l'man tiyat Torah Hashem b'ficha. The Torah should be in your mouth. Min hamutter b'ficha. You can only write that which is mutter to be put in your mouth from that animal. You're allowed to write. Minayim l'dam shu adam. So Karna asks him another question. How do we know that dam nida, that is mitame, is only red blood or things that are hues of red? He says, "Shenamar." The pasuk says, "Vayiru mo'av mineged es hamayim adumim kedam." So it says that the water was red like blood. So blood has to be red. Question number three: Minayin lemila shen be'osumakum. How do you know mila takes place where it takes place? So Namar Khan, because it says here, "Yumol besar orloso." It says orloso, but never lahalan. And it says elsewhere, "The arlar tem orloso," and you remove the orla. I'm talking just about a new plant. My lahalan, just by over there, but they're planting orloso is davish osepri. It's something that can create offspring. Afkan davish osepri. So to here, we're talking about a place where you create the offspring. So the Gemara, it seems to be Karna says to himself, maybe Ema Libo, he says, maybe Libo, right? This is Karna asking to Rav, well, how do you know that's how you learn that with the bris and the osomakom, Ema Libo, maybe we should learn Orla from Orla's Halev, right? You're still comparing Orla so. But there's other places where we have the word Orla. We have the root, the shorish of Orla. The Ksiv Umaltem is Orlas Levavchem. So just say Orla should be the heart. Or Ema Ozno, because it says elsewhere in Yirmiyahu, Hine Areila Oznam. Right? So Rav said back to him, no. Damim Orlaso Tama, may Orlaso Tama, the Ain Damim Orlaso Tama, may Orlaso Aina Tama. We learn Orlaso, that's self descriptive. It says Varlatim Orlaso, as opposed to other places where it's an adjective or something else. Right? Orlas Ozno, or something like that. So that's, we don't learn from just Orlas or Oso, we learn it straight. Okay, so Amrolei, so Rav says to Karna, Ma Shemecha, what's your name? So he says back to him, Karna. So Amrolei, ye Rav of the tape like Karna Be'enle, a horn should grow in your eye, right? Because he got machped on him that he was bothering him, that he was checking him. Lesof Aile Shmuel Abese, so in the end Shmuel brought him to his house. Rav is having these stomach issues. So Uchle Nama, the Sarah, because of the Harsana, he fed him barley bread, and he fed him these types of fish that were filled with oil. He gave him like sort of like laxative type foods. So for Ashkeche Shikra, and he gave him beer. He didn't show him where the bathroom was. He kept asking, he didn't show him where the bathroom is. So why? But Shmuel was a doctor. He thought this was a remedy. Kihechin Dilushtal Shulel, I guess that everything would take care of himself inside, and then when he does finally go, he'll be able to relieve himself and everything will come out at once. So Layit Rav. Rav curses Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel, the two, this is how they met. So Layit Rav. Rav curses Shmuel the Amar, and he says, Mandi Mitzarin Lalukm Lebini. Whoever's Mitzarin me, whoever's bothering me, they should not have, so Machlokes here, they should not have children, they should not have sons. We know that Shmuel did not have sons. Shmuel had two daughters. It comes up a lot of times in Shas. So if you say that lo lukmi lebeni means you shouldn't have any sons, that means, okay, you didn't have any sons, but you had daughters afterwards. Or you can say that he says you shouldn't have any children, and those daughters were born before this event took place. But Amar Manda Matzari, lo lukmi lebeni, you shouldn't have any children. V'chein hava, and that's how it was. He didn't have any sons. He only had two daughters. So now the Gemara goes back about this whole thing about how do we know that Mila is ba'osel makam. Gemara says, Kitanai, minayin le'mila she'osel makam. How do you know that Mila is in that place? Nemar kan. Kan it says by Mila Orla So, Venebra Halon, it says by Orla and Etteravai, it says Orla So, Mila Halon Davisho Sapri, that just like over there by Orla, it's talking about something that creates offspring. Akan Davisho Osapri de Rabbi Yosha. That's what Rabbi Yosha says, talking about a place where it creates offspring. Rabbi Nassan Omer, Rabbi Nassan says, Eno Tzarech, I don't need to learn it from there, I can learn it from Mila itself. Harei Omer, it says by Mila, by Avram, it says, Va'arel Zachar, Asher Yumol, Lo Yumol, is Pastor Orla So. So it says Arel Zachar. So talking about you're removing something by a Zachar. Makom Shanika ben Zachos Lanakos. It's a place where you can where you tell the difference between a male and a female. What if you have a makom, then it's a male. You don't, it's a female, despite what your feelings might be. Tana Rabbanan. So we learn in a Brisa. Kosvin Tfilin Lagabi Orbahim or Lagabi Or Kaitahom. We can write tefillin on the hides of a kosher behema, on the hides of a kosher bird. It doesn't mention fish here. Valgabi or nivelas utrefushlahem. You can even write on the hides of a kosher animal that's a nivela or a trefa. It doesn't even have to be kosher to eat. It just has to be from the species that's kosher to eat. Right? And then it says, Nichros Misa'aron, you wrap them up with the hair of these animals, nit parot bigidon, and you sew them with the sinews of these animals. V'alach l'mosh misina, it's alach l'mosh misina, it's a tefillin nichros misarom mitzvart bigidon, that the tefillin are tied with hair and, sorry, are wrapped with the hair and sewed with the sinews. Aval enkos lo agabi or behemet tamea, you may not write on the hides of a non-kosher animal, below agabi or chayt meya, not on the hides of a non-kosher bird, then sarich lomar, and of course, kavachomer, you're not going to write agabi or nevela to trefa shalem, you're not going to be able to write on a nevela or trefa of a non-kosher animal, ve'ein nechrochin b'seiro, ve'ein nisparot b'kidon, you can't use the hair, you can't use the sinews of a non-kosher animal. V'zo she'ela, Bezosha Eila Shal Baitusi Echalas Rabbi Shua Hagarsi. And this is the question that one Baitusim, right? Baitusim, the Tzdukim sometimes are used interchangeably, but not necessarily. They're a sect of Jews who didn't believe necessarily in Torah Shabbal Peh, but they did believe in Torah Shabbal Peh. Whatever. They were a bunch of Apikarsim. Bezosha Eila Shal Baitusi Echad, Ask Rabbi Shua Hagarsi, Ask Rabbi Shua Hagarsi. I think that's regular Rabbi Shua, and Garsi is where he's from. I'm not sure. Minayin she'en kosin tefillin al or shel behemah tamea. How do you know you're not allowed to write tefillin on the hides of a non-kosher animal? So Yeshua answered, "Ksiv leman tia torah shem picha. The torah shem has to be in your mouth. You have to do midavar hamutar b'chvicha. It's only be written on something that can be mut to go into your mouth." So the Baitusi asked him a good kasha. El meyat, if that's the case, al gabi or nevelus u trefos al yichtavu. Don't write it on the skin, the hides of a nevel trefa. That's not kosher. It does not go into your mouth. So Amarlo, Reb Shua sends him a mashal. He says, Em shalachal mashal mada domer. What's this similar to? L'shnei b'nei adam shenischayvu harigal malchus. Two people are subject to be killed, capital offense, to be killed by the king. Echar haragu melech. One, the king himself kills. The echar haragu ispakalitor, which I guess is the executioner, right? One is killed by the king himself, and one the executioner takes care of. Ezem Mishubach, which one is a greater person? Who had the more honorable killing? Havei Omer Zeshar Agomelech. It's the one that was killed by the king. So too, by the Nevela, it's killed by the king. It's not killed. Someone who shachot is killed by the person. The Nevela is killed by the king himself, so he's going to be more honorable. So Gemara says, wait a second. So Elmeyat, if that's the case, Amrale Elmeyata Yochelu. If it's such a respectful way of die that the king is going to kill himself, so why aren't they kosher? You should be able to eat them. So he answers him, no. Amarle, he says back to him, Torah Amar, you're right, in Chanami, but lo socha kol nevela. There's a custom, you're not supposed to eat a nevela. But at Amar Yochelu, and you're going to tell us that you eat it. So Amarlo, Kalos, the Baitusi was saying, okay, I accept. Right, I guess maybe he accepted that. So the idea is basically when it comes to the animal that you're allowed to use for the tefillin, it's not that something that you are permitted to eat. It's from the species that you are permitted to eat. So even if it's an avela, even if it's a trefa, if it's an avela cow, you're allowed to use it. It doesn't have to be shechted kidin. Okay, the next Mishnah. Now we're going to talk about using.
Furthermore, they mentioned here, it could be an avela from somebody who killed.
Yes, I agree exactly. Right. Rosh Tosos, I think, says, Im Tomar, Tenach Mesu Me'aleim. That's a good answer if it dies by itself. But Nechuros Valkoros, Michael Memar, what if you messed up on your Shechita? It's still in the Vela, it was killed by a person. So, Enoch and it's a good question. Okay, the Mishnah now goes on to the next. Malach, I'm talking about is Ibur, which is tanning, which is basically done with heavy salting. So, it's using a lot of salt. That's the issue. So, the Mishnah says, Ein osim hilmi. We don't do a hilmi. What hilmi, Rashi says? Shlamria, which is whatever. It's heavily salted water, Mishabis. Because if you're using a lot of salt, it's nira kima'abed. It looks like you're tanning. I don't think it's the raisa, I think it's the rabbanan. It looks like you are tanning. The idea of ibud is soaking raw items. We're soaking raw items in a salty liquid. So if you're salt, here the hilmi looks like you're salting. Aval osehu es meha melech. You can make the meha melech. The Gemara's explained that's just a little bit. Doing a little, not so much. The tova ben pito. You can make this meha melech, and you can dip your bread into it. Vinos l'sol chatavshil, and you can put it into the cooked dish. Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, wait a second. Valohu hilmi beimiru b'muat. Hilmi doesn't make a distinction whether it's a lot of salt or not of salt. It's hilmi. Putting a lot of salt is hilmi. It's just hilmi with a lot of salt. And putting a little salt in is also hilmi, which is putting in a little salt. And the Mishnah says, hilmi. You're not allowed to do the hilmi. Right? Amar Yosef, elu hilmi, bein meruba, bein muat. Question is whether that means, is he saying it la'aser, or is he saying it laheter? The Mishnah goes on to ask. The elu hein mein melech hamutarim. So what is considered salt water that is mutar? He says, nosin shemen lechatchila lesocha mayim. First you put oil in the water, and then you put the salt, or you put the oil on the salt, and then you put the water on it. I mean, you have to cut the salt with the oil. I guess then it doesn't become, that's different. Rashi says, the elohen mutarim nosin shem l'soch mayim tchila, kodem sheyitein hamelech, o nosin shem l'toch hamelech, either you put the oil in first, kodem sheyitein hamayim, o nosin shem l'toch hamelech, kodem sheyitein hamayim, there's shem ma'akiv. The shemen some does prevent. She'en melech mas arev yafa imamayim, because the oil, the oil and water don't mix. Umatish is kochom yos mei melech azin, and it allows it to not become such strong salt water. Avalo yitein mayim umelech tchila. Don't put water and salt first. Vafil nosin shemel masof, and then put the oil in afterwards. Tibishosh and nosin mayim melech yachad. But the moment that you put the water and the salt together, nirek ma'abed. It looks like ma'abed. It looks like tanning. Not that it is. It looks like. That's what I got before. I think he's all talking about on a derabbanan level. So Gemara says, Maika Amar. What is the Mishnah saying? Right? What is this hilmi that the Mishnah talks about? So Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Hachik Amar. This is what the Mishnah says. Ain osim mei melech merubin. You don't make this big pot of salt water. I guess in order to, you want to use it to pickle, right? You want to use the salt water sort of to pickle the vegetables that they'll stand for a long time, because that looks like ma'abed. Aval osu mei melech mu'atim. But you're allowed to use a small amount. Now they'll make a large amount to make in a jar. If you want to make a smaller dish to dip, that you can do it. Amar Rav Yossi, v'alohu hilmi bein merubin mu'atim. Rav Yossi says, whether it's a lot or a little, it's hilmi. So in Rashi, v'alohu Rav Yossi le'esor, if Rav Yossi say, it doesn't make a difference. Either way, it's hilmi, and therefore it's mutter, little or a lot. Or is he saying, is that la'asr or la'hatir? He's saying la'asr or to say that it's forbidden, say that it's mutter. Amar Rav Yehuda la'hatir. He's coming to say that it's mutter. Midalokatani Rav Yossi Omer. Because it doesn't say Rav Yossi Omer, rather it says Amar Rav Yossi. Usually when you're arguing, you say Rav Yossi, so-and-so says, as opposed to say says so-and-so, sometimes usually as an explanation. But the Gemara says, Amar Le Rabba. But Rabbah says that doesn't make sense. Look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hami the Katani Seifa," and the Seifa of the Mishnah says, "The Elu Hain Mein Melech Hamutarin." It's saying that this is what's mutter. That means it's describing Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says the Hilmi is Aser, but this is what's mutter, right? It says Miklal the Rabbi Yossi leEser Ela Amar Rabbah leEser V'chein Rabbi Yochanan leEser. You're right. Then it talked that Rabbi Yossi was coming to Aser. It says it didn't make a difference. A lot of salt water, small amount of salt water. You're not allowed to do that unless you cut it first with the oil. Tanya Mihachi, a Bryce that supports this as well. Ein osim mei melech merubim. You don't make a large vat of salt water. Excuse me. Laseis l'socha kvashin, to put vegetables in there to pickle them. Shebetoch gistera. I guess you would put the vegetables in the, you would use, in, we come across the gistera, it's the broken piece of pottery. I guess you would use these shards or these broken pieces to pickle, because you didn't want to waste a good dish. So he says, "Tan Noachi, right? Ain osim mei melech merubin l'socha kivashim shabtocha gistera, aval osinu mei melech muatim. But you can make a small amount. Ve'ochu behen pito ve'nosin l'tocha tavshil. You can make a small amount, and therefore you can dip, use it as a dip." Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, "What's the difference? Shechim yedei shalol merubin v'alol muatim. Just because this is a lot and this is a little, halalu asar and halalu mutarim. These are a mutar and these are demkan asar. Yomer malachim meruba asura malachim wetas muteris. You can say, well, if I do a big malacha, if I carry a piano, that's going to be asar outside. If I carry a tissue, it's not." No, once you do the malacha, it's a malacha. It doesn't make a difference if it's large or small. Ela elu ve'elu asur name. both making salt water, a lot of salt water, a little small amount of salt water is usher. The elu hein mei melech mutar, and what's going to make, how can you make it correctly? No sin shem v'melech, you put the oil in first, or shemen v'mayim, and then you put the shemen, then the salt, or the shemen and the water, you have to have the shemen there before you mix the salt and the water. Or bevach lo yitein mayim u'melech achil, you can't have the mayim and the melech before the shemen. Every derabanan, mechsek mivasha. You can't put something on, something that's covered, you can't put it from the refrigerator and put it onto the blech directly. Mechsek mivasha. It looks like cooking. Yeah, all the time. You don't like that?
No, I'm just thinking, yeah. Most of the time I'm thinking that you may come to.
Right, so here we say, the one I think of mechsek is cooking.
It
looks like, right. Yeah, I think we do. I heard something. I don't know. It's true that there's some people who are makbid that make sure that you make the salt water for the seder erev yontif, especially if it's erev Shabbos, not to violate to this whole idea that comes from here, not to make the salt water, even though the salt is our salt is probably different than their salt, and probably not the same thing. But nevertheless, there's the makbid to make sure that the salt water is made in advance before yontif starts. Okay. I guess ma'abed is not ochel nefesh, right? It's not on the list of things that you're allowed to do on yontif. Okay, fine. Isin tznon esrog zimun. Tani Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva. Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva says, ein osin mei melech azin. You can't make strong salt water on Shabbos. My melech, mei melech azin. What is a strong salt water? Rabbi Rav Yosef bar Abba Adami Tarvayu, they both said, kol shehabeitza tzafa behen. You can't make salt water to the extent that the salt is, I guess the salt content is so high that an egg will float in there. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, so how much is that? What's the ingredients? Amar Abaye, trei tilte milcha v'silta mayim. That means it'll be two-thirds salt, one-third water. L'may avidle, and what is that? Why would you make that? Why would you make this sort of concoction? My avidle, amar Abyevohu, limur yasa. I guess it's some sort of dip. Right, it's a dip or something to pickle the fish. To put this over the fish, and I guess you sort of pickle these fish and you make them a sort of like a sardine type. Okay, Tani Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva, he says also ein molchim snon ubeitz b'Shabbos. You can't salt. You're not allowed to salt a radish or an egg on Shabbos. Rashi says, where is that? Emochim sonu beitza. It's towards the top, 10 lines from where we get short. Emochim sonu beitza. Gimel v'dal chatichos yachad. You can't do 3 or 4 pieces of radish or egg together. Shamelch ma'abdon. The salt just tans them. Benasim kashim. It makes them hard. Vavi tikun. Now you're fixing it. He doesn't even say that. It looks like there. He doesn't say it's mechsen ke ma'abdon. Here it says nasa tikun. I don't know what the difference would be. But he says okay. Retain Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva. Emochim sonu beitza b'Shabbos. Rabbi Chizkiya mishmeid Abaye Amar. Tznon aser, you're not allowed to salt the radish, ubeitza muteris, but you're allowed to salt the egg. Same thing we say, he quotes over here that the salt is not good for the egg, so therefore it's not considered a tikkun. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, me reish hava malchana pugla. Originally, I would salt the pugla, which I think is also another word for a radish, right? Amina of sude kamam sidile, because I thought that I was ruining it. Right, and therefore it's not considered good. It's not considered ibud because I'm not making it better. I don't know why would you salt it then? Okay, the Amr Shmuel, but then he says the Amr Shmuel because he thought pulga chorfe maale because Shmuel says that a radish is better when it's sharper, and apparently the salt removes some of the sharpness. But kevin the shaman alei the chi asa ula. But then when I heard that when ula went, chi asa ula, ula came back from Eretz Yisrael, the Amar, and he says, "B'mamrava makli kishri kishri." Then in Eretz Yisrael, they would salt these, I guess, on like these piles of radish. Meaning, that's clearly something that's good for them. That they would do that, you know, the chachila, I guess, during the weekday. So mimloch lo malchan. I stopped doing it on Shabbos because obviously it's something that's better that betters the radish. But tabuli vadimat bilene. But I can still dip it. I can't necessarily pour it on, but I can dip it in the salt. That he says is not a problem. Fine. Tani Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva esrog, right? An esrog tznon ubeitza il moli kliposon achitzona. If not for their outer shell, einan yotzim b'mayim olam. You won't be able to digest them. Okay, it's a good thing to have this natural thing that prevents us from not being able to digest them. Ki asa Rav Dimi. So Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Amar, he said, Ne olam lo tava gavra b'yam adastom. A person has never drowned in the Dead Sea. Right? That makes sense. You float there. Right? Lo tava gavra b'yam adastom. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, right, hafucha stom v'hafucha mila. The stone got overturned, and so too your words got overturned. I mean, you're saying nonsense. Right? Gavra hu delotava. You're telling me that only a person didn't drown? Gavra hu delotava, bakshura tava. He makes this deal. You're saying only no person ever drowned, which the inference being, oh, but a stick, a branch did drown in the Amr. I mean, that's not what he said. He just said a person didn't drown. But he's saying that, so Amr Abaye, he says, no, lomi vayik amar. Rabbi Dimi says, he's saying it's like a kabel chomer, ain't sarach chomer, lomi vayik shura. Don't think that for a second that a branch or a stick ever drowned or ever sank in the Yam HaMelech. Because sticks usually can float anywhere. So if it can float in the sea, it's going to float in the Dead Sea. El afilu gavra, even a person, the tava b'chol meimos olam, elsewhere always will drown, b'yama the stone lo tava. But in the Dead Sea, we would not drown. So Gemara says, okay, shkoyach, l'mayin afkamina. So what is that? What are you teaching us? L'mayin afkamina. So he's teaching us, ki ha deravin habishaka v'azil acharei derav Yirmiya. Ravin, I guess, was walking behind Rav Yirmiya, aguda the yama the stone. On the shore of the Dead Sea, down the stone, Amr Lay, so Ravin says to Rav Yirmiya, Mahu Limishmishe Mahani Mayim Bishabbos. Can I use this water on Shabbos? Rashi says, as for Rafua, Mi Asar Mishum Rafua. Right? Can I use the water on Shabbos from the Dead Sea of Rafua? The Gazar Abban Bechor Rafus Bishabbos Mishum Shchikas Shemmanim. The Eilu Miraposas Posa Sa'ayin. Somehow this counterintuitive to me, salt water apparently is very helpful to the eye. Can I use it? So he says to him, shop your dummy, it's mutter, right? Because it looks like you're washing. It doesn't look like you're doing refuah. It looks like you're washing. So he says, mahu lemeimetsu lemiftach. Can I open my eyes and close my eyes? Like, just keep blinking, because that's not wash. Usually you wash, you splash it on your face. But if you're opening and closing your eyes, maybe that looks more like you're doing it for refuah. Right? Rashi says, Mahu lemeimus lemiftach. He says, "Kishu rochets mein b'shabbes mahu sheisker v'yitach es enach kadesh she kanes mehin la'ayin." So it enters the eye. Again, I don't know why you would try to put that seawater into your eye. So Gemara says, "Amar lei." So he said, "Back to him lo zulo shomati." I didn't hear anything about this, about whether you open and close your eyes when you're washing your face with the salt water from the Dead Sea, but kayotze b'shamati, but I heard something similar. What is the similar thing that I heard? Amr Rabbi Zeir said two dinim. Zimin amr li mishmei de Rav Masna, but zimin amr li mishmei de Mar Ukva. He has two dinim, sometimes he said them in the name of Rav Masna, sometimes he said them in the name of Mar Ukva. V'tervayu mishmei davu v'shmuel v'levi amrin. And both of them were said in the name of the father of Shmuel and Levi. And he didn't know who said what. He says, Chad Amar, one said, I mean, one of them, meaning one of the, one either the father of Shmuel or Levi said, Chad Amar, Yayin besocha ha'ayin asr. You're not allowed to put wine in the eye, because that's clearly looking like refuah. But al gava ayin, but just on top of the eye, that's mutter, because if you don't open and close your eyes, that's mutter, because maybe someone will say that you're doing that for rechitza, for just washing. The Chad Amar, one said, Rok tofel, which I think this means like saliva or spit, afilu al gava ayin asr. That's also not allowed to do. That's usher. I guess no one would put that on without for refuah purposes. That's muchach, that it is refuah, because it's something gross to put spit in your eye, and therefore if you're doing it, it must be for refuah. So I guess here Rav Yirmiya proved that you're not allowed to open and close your eyes when you wash with the salt water from the Dead Sea, because that's by opening and closing, it's muchach, that it's for refuah. And that's what he said that, like over here also, you can't put the wine in your eye, because that you open and closing, and that said that's usher. So okay, that's said. So now the Gemara is trying to figure out who said what. Right, we said over here, one was said by Levi, one was said by the father of Shmuel. So Tistayim, let's prove the Avua de Shmuel, that's the father of Shmuel, who the Amar, Yayim Besocha Ayin Asar. He's the one who says that you're not allowed to put wine in your eye, but Al Gava Ayin Mutter, on top of the eye, it's Mutter. Read the Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel, right, Shmuel's the son, so he probably got from his father. Read the Amar Shmuel, Shora Adam Pito Beyayin, a person's allowed to dip his bread in the wine. V'nosno al gav ha'ayin b'shabbos, and then you can put that on the eye on Shabbos, because apparently that looks like rechitza. D'shamile miman, who did he hear it for? They put something on top of the eye, not in the eye. Who would he have heard that from? He must have heard it from home, right? He must have learned it from his house. So it must be that who says that you've got to put it on and not in? That must be Shmuel. The other member is Levi. So Mar says, well, Tamech. But according to your sheet that you just proved that it's the father, Shmuel's father who made the distinction about in and on the eye. So Hada Amar Shmuel. But Shmuel himself says elsewhere, Rok Tofel, this spit, Afilo Gava Ayin Aser. Even on your eye is Aser. So Shmuel Leman, who did he hear that from? Maybe Elaim or Shmuel Avua. If he heard that from his father, El Levi V'Lochad Amar, Levi didn't say anything. Then we had two statements, right? One was said by Avua Shmuel, one was said by Levi. Shmuel actually makes both of those statements as well, like it's a generation later. And if you're telling me that Shmuel, whatever Shmuel says something, he's getting it from his father, so that means both statements that Shmuel said were said by his father. But that can't be, because we know one of these statements were made by Levi. So just because Shmuel's father said something, just because Shmuel said something, doesn't necessarily mean that he heard it from his father. So Ela Chada Shmuel Leimavua, one thing he heard from his father, I guess he heard when they were learning at home, V'chada Shmuel Levi, and the other thing he heard from Levi when he was learning, right? V'lo Yadin and Hemi Avua, Hemi Levi. And we just don't know which one he heard from his father and which one he heard from Levi. Fine. Go a little further. Amar Mar Ukva Amar Shmuel. Mar Ukva says the name of Shmuel. Shore Adam Ki Lo Rin. Me Erev Shabbos. V'nosein Al Gav Einav V'Shabbos V'Eino Choshesh. A person can soak the water with this Ki Lo Rin as some type of grass, some types of simanim that has that they put the water in there and it helps with the eyes. Right? You do it on Erev Shabbos and you put it on the outside of your eyes on Shabbos. You're not Choshesh because of Refuah. Right? Bar Levi Havikat Kamei Demar Ukva. So Bar Levi came before Mar Ukva. Chazi dechavi ma'itz upatach. He saw that Mar Ukva was putting on his eyes, then opening and closing his eyes. Amalei kule hai. You let it all the way to here. You let it do that. That looks more like refuah when you're opening and closing the eyes. So kule hai vadi lo sharish Mar Shmuel. Shmuel clearly not allow you to do that. I mean, you're doing the wrong thing. You let it place it on the eye. You now let it keep blinking to allow it to go enter the eye. Shalach le Rav Yanai le Mar Ukva. So Rav Yanai says to Mar Ukva, Lishadilan Mar Mehanach Kilorin de Mar Shmuel. Send me some of the storage of this Kilurin for that Shmuel has. And again, Shmuel is the doctor. So maybe he has it in the medicine chest, right? He's the pharmacy. So Shalach le Mar Ukva says back to him, Shadur Mishad Vela. I'm going to send it to you. Delo Tema Tsar Ayin Ana. So you don't say that I'm a stingy person. Ella, you should know, Ella Hachi Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, you want this type of remedy. But Shmuel said, the doctor said, Tova tipas tsonein shachris. It's verichitas edayim, veraglayim, lecham arvis, mikol klirim olam. I have a better remedy for you. It's better, I guess, to put this drop of a radish into your eye in the morning and to wash your hands and your feet with warm water at night. That's better than all this kilorin. What?
I think it's cold water.
Cold water. No, bechamin. What did I say?
Okay,
Tova tipas sinon shachas ikut daim raglaim lechamin ba'arvis, or the cold water in the eye in the morning, and to wash our hands and feet with the warm water at night. That's better than all this kilorin in the world. Tainam mehachim, we're going to brisa as well. Amar Rav Muna mishum Rav Yirmiyah tovas tipas sinon shachas ikut daim raglaim ba'arvis mekol kilorin shavolam. So if you want, I'll send you the medicine, but you should know there's a better way to treat this. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a good day. Right.